Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Broadcasting from the Shaw Star Market Studios, the flagship station for your Boston Red Sox. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston, a Radio.com sports station.
I still don't think nearly enough is being made about how hard it's going to be to replace that legend in that stadium, in that city, in that state and region. This is the most beloved Boston athlete ever. Mm-hmm. And the Boo Birds are going to come out, and it's a tough place. I believe it would be a tough place for a black quarterback to succeed unless they succeed at the highest level,
right,
the Brady-esque level.
Yeah.
Do we have to continue with this ridiculous narrative, Ken?
Well, it's a legitimate narrative. I don't know how you could just dismiss this outright. There's no possibility of racial criticism in the region if Cam doesn't play
the region, by the way. So just to be clear, Skip at, what is it, $7.5 million a year, Curtis?
Yep.
Is essentially calling the New England region a region that would be critical of a black quarterback who didn't perform well because he's a black quarterback. It's ridiculous. Give me an example.
Well, we just had Torrey Hunter on the show like a month ago. Which, like, at the time, Pandering Man Hill Dog was like all about it.
No, I believe me. I'm the panderer in chief.
All hail.
However, mm-hmm, on this one, I think it's an offensive statement.
So was Torrey Hunter called the N-word at Fenway or not?
I mean, I take him at his word that he was, absolutely.
Okay, so it's the possibility that exists. I mean, maybe that was 10 years ago. Maybe we've changed.
But can you give me an example of any, never mind just New England Patriot, any NFL player who has suggested that they suffered any kind of incident whatsoever?
I don't even think it comes down to an incident. I think it's just an attitude. I think it's an attitude that people have. I don't think they'll necessarily speak out and say anything specific, like regarding, you know, him being black or his lack of performance or whatever it is. I think that some people just are going to have that attitude, that mentality in their head. They're only going to share that with certain people or in certain circumstances. They're not going to go broadcast it at Gillette.
Brady wouldn't act like that.
I don't think you can deny that the attitude is there.
So Andy Dalton, who would come here and would not perform well, would be given a pass by the racist New England fans.
Tom Brady was booed last year. Tom Brady, moron Skip Bayless, who doesn't understand anything he is talking about. And also, Ken, it's a good point with Torrey Hunter, but Torrey Hunter listed Kansas City as one of the cities that he went to where he had racial epithets thrown his way. Well, guess what? If somebody had just signed, Chris Jones just re-signed in Kansas City, or Patrick Mahomes, nobody mentions an African-American player in their reaction in Kansas City because they don't have the same history.
Right, Curtis, oh, my God, they forgive Tyreek Hill out there, for God's sakes.
You know the narrative. CC Sabathia, Adam Jones. Boston has a reputation. We've talked about it a million times. But so it's going to be brought up with Newton.
But you have factual evidence. If Skip Bayless wanted to actually do the segment, you should listen and look at the reaction to Cam Newton's signing here. It has been universally applauded
by the
fans.
By the fans.
But who cares?
The fans don't cheer in the press box. They don't boo in the press box. He's talking about the reaction of the fans of the Patriots at Gillette Stadium, which likely there won't even be any this year, so we won't even know this, you know, for a couple of years.
If the quarterback who is replacing Tom Brady, the greatest ever, is unable to perform, white or black or otherwise, the reaction is going to be the same from New England Patriots fans.
We have a caller, Albert from Rhode Island, who is on the record as saying they can't lead well.
Okay. Now we're at this stage. I quit.
Well, that's a caller to our show.
When was that? That was 10 years. When did that happen?
A couple years ago. Whatever. It was unfortunate, but, you know, okay, there are other Alberts out there, unfortunately.
Yes, nobody's doubting there were racists in New England, just like there are racists anywhere in the world. There are racism sadly exists.
How has the region's reaction to Gilmore been? How's it been to McCourty?
How about Ty Law?
Both McCourty's.
Bayless says quarterback. It's about the quarterback. That's a high-profile position. That's what he's talking about.
So because of the color of his – so let me just get this straight. Because of the color of his skin – people are therefore going to associate a certain lifestyle, attitude, and behavior, which is unbecoming of the position and the organization. Therefore, they're going to point to that first and foremost if and when some people actually hope he does fail. That's unthinkable to me. That's absolutely unthinkable.
It's going to happen.
There will be
people that will revert to that. Does that make it right? Absolutely not. But you can't sit here and say unequivocally that nobody in the New England region is going to go down that road.
You can say the same for any region. D.C., where they actually had a black quarterback win a Super Bowl. Miami, I'm sure in Texas the same thing would be said. And they have an African-American quarterback leading the Houston Texans. Might actually be the best quarterback in football. How about the Pacific Northwest? They have a black man at quarterback as well up there. Do they make an issue of it? Do people say, oh, it's going to be impossible for Russell Wilson, who might be the best all-around player in football, to succeed in his ninth season at quarterback because of the color of his skin? Stop.
But
this is so dumb. This is such a tired... Listen... As part-time member of the media and full-time Foxborough fanboy, I always try to think fan first. And the thought of whatever color of skin, outfit he wears, music he listens to doesn't cross my mind. Can he get the job done? Will it be fun to watch him? Yes, no, period, end of story.
Okay, but you're not everybody. I mean,
I know, but for people to keep trotting out the whole, like, oh, what will the Boston media say? There's not a single damn Patriots fan, quite frankly, that gives a flying blank what the Boston media says.
Yeah,
we're sick
cares.
And tired of. No, we don't.
That's such a.
We have two sports stations in
Patriots
town.
Patriots talk in Boston rates exceedingly well. People
we,
love.
We enjoy
the
dialogue
media.
Because we can't get enough of it. We sit around in doing our driveway drinking. Wherever we get a chance, whenever we're out having a Stellwagen, when we're debating whether or not a hot dog is a sandwich, we can't stop talking Patriots. But we don't care about the Boston media and whether or not. They say race has anything to do
but
with
today,
it.
Today, Nick, the Boston media, as an hour show, and what I am doing is saying on behalf of the fans, this is lunacy.
Yes.
This is somebody who's preemptively creating a dialogue that never even should begin.
And I'm getting, it's an outrageous statement to say that the region is a tough place for a black quarterback to succeed.
I mean, there's no evidence, so any theory on the matter is fair game at this point. I mean, there's no we haven't had a black starting quarterback.
Well, you're treating it like COVID, where there's no evidence, there's no mortality rate, so we just surmise what it is. You don't have to have any evidence to make a determination whether or not New England is going to be a tough place for
opinion.
A black quarterback to succeed.
Lazy.
To all the 99.9% of all Patriots fans want Cam Newton or Jarrett Stidham or Brian Hoyer to succeed.
Sure.
It doesn't matter what the color of their skin is.
If Tebow had done a foreskin circumcision at the 50-yard line, we would have been like, you know what?
Wow.
As long as you can throw a pass that doesn't hit someone in the ankles, go for it.
That got Dak fast.
No one cares. We just want them to win. We want the football to be entertaining. We want to have something to talk about. Aside from listening to people like Skip Bayless, who has the relevance of my underfoot, to come out and say it's going to be difficult for Cameron Newton to be able to.
No, you're just pandering. You're just sticking your head in the sand. I mean,
no, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I think
I can't hear one more. I'm not.
What about the Jacoby Brissett era? I mean, were people all over him?
The two-game era?
The two-and-a-half
games?
Were
people all over
huge.
Well, Bill Belichick obviously traded him for Philip Dorsett because he didn't think, because of the color of his skin, he could succeed anymore.
But the thing that I actually respect the most about Patriots fans is last offseason and now, they've been, I thought there was going to be a lot bigger group of Patriots fans that followed Brady wherever he went, and I've been wrong on that. They are loyal to a T to the Patriots and whoever is the quarterback of that team, and they wish Brady well wherever he goes. But I think the Rob Gronkowski, the fan dynamic with him, really changed quickly because the Patriots fans were sick and tired of the, I might be coming back, I'm going to do a big announcement, and then here comes his buddy, now I can't remember his name, doing the
Perry Antelman.
Yeah. Perry Antelman doing the CBD announcement. And I think Gronk has been turned on by a lot of the Pats fans because of his off-field behavior. But you don't hear about that because that's just a white guy, and this is what they're doing. I think Patriots fans just love the team. They want the team to do well. And like last season when Brady performed poorly in certain games, they booed him. And that's what they'll do with Cam Newton. And it will have nothing to do with the color of his skin, in my opinion.
I don't think it was Gronk's off-field behavior. I think it was the teasing and then the fact that he ended up going with Tom that pissed people off.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Honestly, both opinions are a little bit ridiculous. For you to say there will, there's no chance it's going to be the reason is silly. And for you to say, I believe it's going
to
be the reason
I'm supposed to assume that if Cam Newton doesn't succeed here in the city, it's because this city is a tough place for a black quarterback to succeed?
No, I didn't say that. Oh. I'm saying you shouldn't assume that either, but a lot depends on the circumstances, how well they play on the field, how he acts, how he behaves. It's all factors in.
Listen, if all he focuses on is social media and his production company and his reality show about his dad or whatever, and he's not performing, then I fair game on people being all over him on that. And certainly Bill Belichick is going to be all over him on that.
Yeah. But what are you going to do? Like cut to the beach this weekend or a cookout somewhere? Like, man, I'm really excited to see what Cam Newton can do once Josh McDaniels gets to the second half of the playbook and opens it up for him. Yeah, but I heard, and this is all hypothetical, Trenny and Tanguay and Felger and Maz said they weren't really sure about it, so now I've changed my mind. No one's going to talk or think like that. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
You're wrong about nobody caring.
No,
people
they
care.
Don't. They don't. I swear to God, they don't. They allow you to think that they do, but they don't. In their heart of hearts, they really don't care what a media base that has built itself up off the reputation of trying to take down athletes and riding their coattails to fame and clickbait fortune. They don't care. I truly believe that.
But that doesn't. You work at the website now.
I know.
You see what gets clicked and what doesn't.
Yeah,
I mean,
smut.
But it's that's at night.
Yeah, what gets clickbait whenever
Ken Laird's columns.
Whenever, yeah, honestly, Ken Laird right. columns. Laird doesn't try, never drags that nonsense into it. He's got wild takes.
It's very early.
How did yesterday's column do?
Not great. Not my best. To be honest, it's not my best.
I figured as much because he usually tells us the next day how hot it is.
Trending right now. It's tearing up the internet, everybody.
Last week's was better. My cam list of 12 reasons, much better.
But you've yet to address the fact that NASCAR had 30,000 fans successfully at an event last night.
Don't exaggerate.
20,000 fans successfully attend an event last night without any issue. And you want the New England Patriots, you want the NFL season pushed to the spring.
Without an issue, we don't know. We just had the Oklahoma governor test positive 3 weeks after the Tulsa rally.
Well, it's because the fumes. That's going to be the new thing. A study's going to come out next week that motor fumes burn up COVID, and then we're all going to have to suck tailpipe. Right.
Well, it's the reproduction number. That's football. Ken's concern about football is the reproduction number.
I prefer transmission rate.
Right.
Okay. TR?
Yeah, it's up past one, you know.
Ooh.
So that's what it's 1.1, you said, is nerve-wracking.
What does Drudge say, Curtis?
it's nerve-wracking. 1.1, 1.2.
This is the hardest carousel of insanity I've ever ridden in my
life.
How
flamboyant was Cam's outfit yesterday?
Oh, my Lord. Is Peter Navarro going to do an op-ed in the Herald?
Let us get to what is trending.
Don't miss a minute of your favorite WEEI shows by using the Rewind feature in your radio.com app. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
During Subaru Summer, our retailers are making it easy for you to shop online from wherever you are. Begin at SubaruofNewEngland.com. This Redskins story, is it happening, Fitzy, or is it just a ruse, a red herring?
They said it would be dropping at some point this morning, and then they would report on it. So nothing yet. I have refreshed the Twitter machine a number of times, but
you got faith. This is all just a red herring.
Well,
no, it's not.
There's a conspiracy theory floating around that Bezos wants to buy the football team formerly known as the Redskins. So therefore, that is why the Washington Post hit piece, because he owns the Washington Post.
Well, that would be juicy.
Will they be the Amazonians
yes,
now?
Yes.
Nope.
And speaking of hit pieces, front and center Globe piece today on the fact that 37 Massachusetts high schools still have indigenous mascots.
Okay.
And so that it's time for them to change all of those immediately.
Thank you, Peter Brady.
37 of them.
Neshoba was ahead of the curve. You got to be proud of your hometown.
Yeah. And just a mere $2 million for the taxpayers to cover changing everything.
Where? I got hit with a petition a couple days ago from someone I went to high school with. We need to change the Braintree High mascot. It's offensive to the Wampatuck. Braintree Wamps, the Wampatuck. It's not even a cartoonish edition of a Native American. It's just like drawn, and it's like blue and gray. Oh no!
Now, what year were you the mascot? Freshman, sophomore.
No, I was the theater mascot. Yes. I was the theater. It was just
it
was
for the
just
theater
me,
club.
It was just me.
Did the theater club have a mascot?
Well, actually, Greg, if we're being real, it was a guild more than a club.
What defines a guild? You let anybody
votes.
In?
No. Okay. No club. Anyone can get in.
Oh, club.
The guild,
yeah.
Yes.
Guild. You have to have some experience.
Mm-hmm. Guild starts with G.
Okay.
Has five letters
right.
to four.
Right.
Did you stand for Lean on Me at Neshoba when they implemented that as the anthem or no?
Not a lot of support for changing the national anthem based on
stunning.
My lead this morning. The L.A. Times, a columnist in the L.A. Times suggesting that it's time for the Star-Spangled Banner to go and that it should be replaced by the 1972 hit from Bill Withers, Lean on Me.
Real stadium banger right there.
And then he delivered a 1974 hit on someone.
Can we just play more Cecil Newton for the trending?
Sure.
Here's more from the Cam Chronicles. I'm really enjoying this.
You know, he was not timid toward contact. He used to love to run the ball. He could throw. By that time, I had developed a throwing technique for him. He was always available for workout, push-ups, sit-ups, running the mile, pull-ups. Whatever I told him to do, he did it. I could wake Cam up on a Saturday morning and say, Cam, we're going to work out at the field. Get the ball. Bring the jump rope. Get your cleats. Let's go. He wouldn't even grimace. He was driven. He trusted me, and he trusted himself. That's that Navy SEAL mentality.
Man, that's our new voice guy. What a set of pipes on Cecil Newton.
Right?
Unbelievable.
Also, I would follow that man into a brick wall lit on fire.
Absolutely.
So you're right. Edelman's Pops.
Yeah.
And Cecil Newton. We're going to have a dueling podcast coming up.
A podcast.
Well, Frank doesn't. Frank's not on a podcast yet.
No,
Bubs. Frank Edelman.
Frank just works at the auto repair place.
And wears the fanny pack.
And doesn't talk to Julian for 70, 80 days if he screws anything up.
Ardo.
Yes.
Baseball is 1 week away, and that's what's trending on WEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
On the indigenous mascot topic, a texter is suggesting that because the Redskins are changing, now it'll be incumbent on all Massachusetts high schools to follow suit.
Pressure's on.
You think so?
Definitely.
What if it's one that, I mean, you were talking about the complimentary?
Even the honorary stuff, I think at this point is going to be forced to change because I think it's the... If we had done this earlier on and the teams that had what were considered to be offensive names had done the change, then I think the ones that have more of an honorary or noble type name or mascot would be allowed to get away with that because people would see the difference.
Jamel Hill calls the Patriots the New England football team because Patriots.
Okay, so what are we going to do? Cancel Florida State Seminoles. There's a prominent one. Now, the university has made a point of establishing a great relationship with the Seminole tribe in the Florida Panhandle. They have the chief ride out shirtless on the horse, throws the flaming spear in the middle of the stadium. Now they'll probably have to do away with the chop and but
I think there's just going to be a call for anything associated with anything to do with Native American heritage to be gonzo.
You mean like the name of our state?
Correct.
Okay.
We have to change all the highway signs.
We're going to do away with that too. Mm-hmm.
What are we going to call the state?
I don't know. Tex something.
Panderchusetts.
Statewide. Panderchusetts. Yeah.
But what is the goal? I mean, you look at, I'm not kidding when I say this.
But you kicked the ball through, Curtis.
They renamed the Redskins, or they're going to rename the Redskins, mm-hmm. but Washington remains.
Right.
Washington owned slaves.
Optics.
So why don't you just do the whole thing at once? Or who are you? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no real winning in this. I don't think.
That's why I'm asking about Massachusetts, because that is Massachusetts, a Native American word,
yes.
Right?
It was named after the area's indigenous people. The Massachusetts translates to near the Great Hill.
Okay, so is
like
that,
me.
I don't know because I don't know. You know, I'm not Native American. Is any use of any word offensive?
I don't know. I feel like I can't speak to that.
Yeah. I know.
I mean,
we're gonna have to do it.
I'm sure Wiggy will have an opinion tomorrow. But
But the Atlanta Braves are staying, right? The Cleveland Indians are keeping their name. Chicago Blackhawks keeping their name. So there's a scale. You would agree? There's some kind of scale.
And Wiggy just texted in whatever the case may be.
And OMF,
this, that, and the other.
Greg, OMF did a fun little thing. They called it the mascot death bracket, mascot death draft, where they thought they were picking like what team do you think is next? They were going for the obvious ones, like, you know, anything Native American. I think the one that's got to go is the University of Mississippi, the Rebels. And it's not just that you can't be a rebel. It's because the rebel, Colonel Reb, the mascot, is like an old Southern white mustachioed Confederate flag toting Southern pride forever guy.
Well, then UNLV also has to get rid of their mascot.
Does he have a Confederate flag, or are you stereotyping him based on his mustache?
We're all pretty sure who Colonel Reb is. Colonel Reb wasn't just like someone who enjoys a tasty recipe.
Yeah.
No.
Well,
he doesn't just make the biscuits when you go tailgating at the Grove.
Well, but the issue today apparently is the Texas Rangers.
Mm-hmm. Oh God. Out.
Because of the lawmen, mm-hmm. the actual law enforcement organization.
Yes.
That ought to be changed.
Mm-hmm. Chuck Norris is pissed
because of their history. when it comes to Ranger, the history of
Rangers. I don't play
Rangers.
Rebel Yell as a Ranger anymore. It was one of my favorite Billy Idol songs, but it's out.
Yep.
I am.
What about Rebel Rebel?
That's out too.
Oh, boy.
But what is the goal in all of this? I mean this sincerely. What is the goal? That people will live in a world where there is nothing ever offensive?
Mm-hmm. Neutrality.
To become a culturally appropriated single gender.
But you're literally going to have to keep up with this like every 3 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is always evolving. What was offensive in 1800 may not be now and vice versa. Like, humor that, like, The Office, right?
Yeah, I was just thinking this last night. Most of the jokes made in The Office, you couldn't get away with.
No way.
Well, didn't Steve Carell say recently that there was an episode that could not air?
He did make a comment.
Which one? You guys would know because you two love The Office.
I'd have to delve into it.
It is the episode from season 2, I believe, where they each put a heritage on their heads. So, like, one person is Jewish, one person is Italian, one person's African American.
Okay.
Michael Scott was Martin Luther King Jr. for this performance. And they go around the room and they share different ethnic stereotypes. As to get the person to guess which stereotype they are.
Steve Carell actually said that Scott's tots could never be shown again because it was such an awful episode.
Bros before hoes.
But the reason why The Office, in my opinion, has had such a sort of rebirth on Netflix and Comedy Central is because you don't see that humor anymore. You don't see people on your nightly sitcom making those jokes. And so that was done literally 15 years ago, and it would not make it on TV today.
Could we solve the Texas Ranger thing by firing Cody Mitchell? Was that his name? From Outcry?
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. The investigator?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, seemed like a great guy up front. And like he was doing the right thing. And then all of a sudden turns and tries to frame him.
Absolutely. It was... I didn't understand any of those people still having jobs, but he's still very well employed in the Texas Rangers.
Well, is the chief of police gone? Can we talk about Outcry? It's been out long enough, right? What was the old rule?
It was the Wednesday rule, people have had time to watch. Just issue your spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Thank you.
Is the chief of police in that town still the chief of police, or did he get fired?
He did not get fired. He retired.
Okay.
He had he had a health issue. And then he left. But he, I'm sure, got his full pension. The DA, the female DA, is dead. She passed away. She was the most evil, in my opinion, of the whole crew. And then the investigator within the police department is still gainfully employed in the town.
Gainfully employed? He's like running the detective.
He's the lead detective.
He's the lead detective.
I mean, and that was setting up that poor child. In that, it was so awful. I mean,
I know.
It makes you question almost everything. If this happens in this one town where they just had their axe to grind, they wanted to get this guy behind bars for whatever reason, could orchestrate it.
What about when you have an allegation that two crimes are committed in the daycare place, and as the investigator, you never visit the scene of the crime once?
Or check I forget his name, was even living there anymore.
Right.
He had moved out
right.
at the date of the alleged rape.
Right. Or look at other people that were in the daycare to see if there might happen to be an exact resemblance to the high school football star that you're accusing of committing the crime and locking away for 5 years.
There's two odd things that remain questioned at the end. One, why they haven't pressed and gone with charges with the other person that lived in that house, and two, that the family, the parent, even off camera, didn't work at all with Showtime. Wouldn't you think if your child had been raped that you want justice? So if this was the wrong person, and we've already gone through that, why wouldn't those parents say, no, we need to get justice for my son who was raped? We need to charge this Jonathan guy.
Well, he's in jail for another rape, right?
Right, and that the woman that the minor that he raped was on the documentary.
Yeah.
But it's clear to me that it's him. I mean, I don't know who else it would be.
The strangest part of the whole thing is that guy who involves himself in the case.
So weird.
Does he go around the country like involving himself? I mean, I feel, is he like independently wealthy or something? He's flying airplanes. He's going around saving people who are wrongly accused of crimes.
I kept waiting for so they end the documentary and they give updates on where everybody is. And there was nothing on him. I kept waiting for the hook as to what he literally the day after, I believe, that he was charged with this rape. He contacts the mother and the family to say, we're going to prove your innocence. What would he have known? Why did he get involved? There's no sign that he had any relationship whatsoever with the football team, with that family, or anybody in the town. And then he's just flying a plane the day that the appeal gets heard. He's like, awesome, all right. And he like drives back and speaks at the hearing about the trial.
As long as we're on entertainment, television or otherwise, have you seen the Hightown season finale yet?
I did.
Is it good?
It's good. It was a very well done setup for the season two, which is coming back next year on Showtime. So it is very, very interesting, and it has a lot of turns in the final episode.
Thought Hightown was on Stars.
It is. It's on Stars. Sure. Yeah.
So Showtime was Outcry. Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And Paramount is Yellowstone.
Right.
Speaking of Yellowstone,
are you watching Yellowstone?
Fourier said wait and watch the first episode with your wife. He liked it so much that he stopped it halfway through, went and got his wife, said, I think you're going to like this so much and I want to watch it together. And now he's way into it. So we're going to watch it this weekend. I'll watch Kevin Costner in a hat in anything.
He's really good in it. But the only issue is that he sounds weird, and I can't tell if he's doing it on purpose or it's just because he's
some
older.
Some affect, yeah.
But I don't think his voice is lilted or aged. I think he does bad accents. I think he's a great actor who does bad accents. Great director, awesome. When I say he wears a hat, if he's in a baseball movie or he plays a cowboy, he's fantastic. His accent work, like in Robin Hood or 13 Days, get out.
What do you think of the news today that the Fletch reboot will star John Hamm?
It's an insult. Insult. John Hamm, great on Saturday Night Live or making a cameo in 30 Rock where I can enjoy him comedically for 10 to 15 minutes. Taking on Chevy Chase when he was in his comedic fastball prime?
No.
Stop
it. No.
I don't think you need to redo that.
No, it's still funny.
Leave it alone.
I don't need to have him say, excuse me, may I borrow your water, your towel? My car just hit a water buffalo. No, sorry, I don't. It's still there. Like the vacation movies where they tried to at least when they redid Vacation, Greg, what they did was they took your boy from The Office, Ed Helms, and they made him Rusty, the kid. So it was called Vacation, but it was a continuation. It was a sequel.
It wasn't
and
a new
reboot.
Clark.
Yes, it was a new. This is going to be him playing Fletch all over again. It's a waste of time.
The Vacation, did you watch those?
The
reboot or the sequel?
It. No.
It was okay. Just half in the bag one night on the sofa on HBO. Yeah, it was fine. It was fine. It wasn't great. It wasn't awful. It was fine. But most of these reboots are garbage. They need to have a point to continue the story. Creed, you could say, sort of reboots Rocky, but it does it in a way that it makes Adonis Creed the son of Rocky's enemy. And therefore, you further the storyline, and Rocky comes back in. It was great. Just blatantly remaking the movie, like the Total Recall remake a couple years ago with Colin Farrell. Oh, awful.
Colin Farrell's my zeitgeist.
Is there, can you name a good reboot, though?
Not really. In the last 20 years?
Red Dawn was horrible.
That was an embarrassment.
Shameful.
Absolute waste of money.
And when you went to see it with Brees, he had never seen the original, right?
Correct.
So he was a fan of the new
one. I understand the point of the reboot, but why can't you just...
Why can't you just leave it?
Create a new property?
Just leave it. Yeah. Create a new...
There's a lot of other characters out there and a lot of other neat comic books, short stories, and works of fiction that you could probably make a movie over.
Mm-hmm. Roseanne was good for a second before she went nuts. That reboot worked out.
Okay, all right, Watchmen. Watchmen was a very... So it's the greatest graphic novel and comic book of all time. Then the movie was okay. But then this series that came out that was so culturally relevant this past year, where they took on like the black stock market story from Oklahoma and spun it in a different direction. Awesome. Absolutely fantastic. A reimagining, if you will. You have to put some imagination to it. You can't just like, oh, we're going to do Fletch again. Except now it's going to be 2020 and it's going to have John Hamm.
Planet of the Apes remakes were good. That was a good series. Is that called a reboot or is that
With Wahlberg?
That was a remake, Greg. That movie sucked.
That was horrible.
But the one he's talking about, the one that the prequel with James Franco, and then the sequel. So what they did, Ken, they were smart about it. They didn't remake the movie. They sort of reimagined the franchise. Here's what led to the apocalypse. Here's what happened afterwards.
Now, which order do you have to watch those in? A la Star Trek. I mean Star Wars. Sorry,
you have to go Rise of Beneath, around the corner from next to. And then just hanging
adjacent.
Around Planet of the Apes. Yeah, then adjacent to Planet of the Apes.
would you give Ocean's 11 credit for being a good reboot?
That was a great remake.
I think that was, yeah.
There was also 40-something years between
right.
the original.
It was a long time. It wasn't like you're talking, you know, like a mid-90s movie that they're redoing.
And they
was,
created a new Rat Pack. This is just basically going to be John Hamm doing a Chevy Chase impersonation.
Yes.
What about that Mad Max movie? That was pretty good.
Mad Max Fury Road is one of the best movies I think I've seen in the past 15 years.
The Big Show was a great remake.
No, it's a great point, though, Ken. Like, but again, it wasn't. It was a. You could say it was a reboot, but they didn't just have him go do all the same stuff that Mel Gibson did as Mad Max.
What about when they did the Karate Kid with Will Smith's kid?
You can stop talking now. God. Stop. Please stop talking. Jackie Chan was canceled just for being part of those movies.
Was August in that?
Jaden
soundtrack.
Oh, no. The two of them, they headed off on a vacation together right after that announcement. Will and Jada.
Will
did
and
you
Jada.
See that?
Yeah, no,
went,
I didn't see
they
that.
They went to some kind of Hedonism 2 resort or something, okay. And everything is...
Oh, it's fine.
Everything is
A-OK. Oh, that's the place to go when you're trying to repair things.
They got out of the country immediately after that train wreck of a reveal.
I am the worst movie guy in the world, but in my opinion, the Dumb and Dumber reboots and the remake of Dumb and Dumber, Dumb and Dumber 2. Mm-hmm. Like, Dumb and Dumber is my favorite movie as a kid. Like, the greatest. Watch it a thousand times.
It doesn't need to be remade
why are
or
you
touched
remaking
ever.
It?
No.
And like, ever.
And the Farrelly brothers didn't need that. Like, why would you do that?
No. No, they didn't.
That does not need to ever be touched, redone, fiddled with. All right. We will get to the crossover.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Coming up next.
It's the Greg Hill Show.
Wake up, baby.
Tell your friends.
I love it.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Sunlight hurts my eyes. And something without wanting love.
Crossover brought to you by National Lumber. Wait till you see them.
That is smooth.
Smooth vibes.
Real smooth. I like that.
Morning magic.
Morning magic.
We need some Johnny St. Dark.
If there's anybody who knows film, it is Richard.
You're looking at him.
Mm-hmm. And we were just trying to solve the issue of whether there has ever been a good reboot based on the news that John Hamm will be the star of the Fletch reboot.
Fletch, that's right up Fitz's right? alley.
It is.
Got to be his favorite movie of
Slapstick.
All time.
Yes.
A good reboot. Now, let me ask you this. Would you consider the Christopher Nolan Batman movies a reboot?
That's a reboot of a television...
Technically, because what happened was you had
Tim Burton
do two, then Joel Schumacher do two, and basically destroy. Batman was kind of dead at that point, and then Christopher Nolan brought it back with Batman Begins. Like, would that be a reboot?
I
guess
so.
More like
yes, it is.
Like the Halloween reboot, okay. Which wasn't great.
No.
Which
one?
Not the zombie one, the most recent one.
The reboot of the reboot.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about A Star Is Born?
Ooh. A Star Is Born.
Tell me something, Greg.
Oh, God.
There's like four of those, isn't there?
Yeah. There's the
original. Like, there's been a ton of them.
Thank you. Yeah, for that, well, the original
You're
was
welcome.
The. Yeah.
Well, there's the original, then there's Barbara the Chris Streisand, Christopherson, Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there was one before that?
Yes.
There's
that like, that yeah. was actually.
There's a remake of a remake of a remake of a remake.
So what's
Star Wars, technically, right? The Force Awakens was a reboot.
So, all right, so let's requalify then, Greg. So, remakes. Remakes and
Drank
reboots.
Mandalorian. Child. What's that? Remakes and reboots?
The child, actually, is his name. Not Baby Yoda.
Not Baby Yoda, for being
Wait,
honest.
So remake
He isn't actually from Mandalore. He's
Mutt actually loves The Star is Born. He's used to sing it all
Has
the time.
Has he had some? Yeah.
Tell me something, boy.
Remake, you stay true.
And his
to-
show is just like the end of the movie.
Remake.
Oh, I felt bad for the dog in that scene.
I was mid-laugh. I did not laugh at that ending.
I was so sad when he, spoiler alert, killed himself.
I mean, yes.
And his dog, like, you just, did somebody find the dog, you think?
I don't
I
was really stressed out about the dog.
I was
like, he wasn't really long for this world. Cooper wasn't, but I thought the dog had a future.
So Fletch will be this will be a remake, basically, but a reboot is when you take an existing property and you reimagine it. That's sort of what they did with Mad Max Fury Road, which inarguably is a hell of a film.
Yeah, that's true.
Otherwise known as Let's Drive This Way and then Let's Drive Back.
Correct. Open field, the open road.
Oh, man.
Have a guy playing bass strapped to the hood of your car. Well, The Departed was...
Oh, yeah?
Was that a remake?
Of Gone with the Wind,
so
yes.
So that was a...
That was a remake.
That was a remake
of a foreign film.
Of a,
like, it was a Hong Kong film.
Infernal Affairs, which is a great movie.
Really?
Great movie.
Greg won't watch it because of subtitles.
I hate subtitles.
Vanilla Sky, terrible movie. The original Spanish one, also featuring Penelope
Aubrey
Cruz.
Los Ojos.
Awesome.
Hello.
Great
Hola.
Movie. My man.
That is the most Nick thing of all time.
You're missing what we're talking about in Pint
serious.
Club.
Yeah.
This is why
you guys sit down, pour yourself a draft.
Are you properly spaced when you guys do Pint Club?
Of course.
Okay, good.
Of course. Yeah. Okay. We do like a little distance cheers.
Uh-huh. And then drop the six pack, the mix pack off at the driveway, and Nick waits till you've left. And he runs out.
Greg,
sorry. Come on, not down with the crap beer.
Beer's only good if it's in a four pack.
So... speaking of that, where do you stand on the bill that was filed yesterday here in Massachusetts to make masks mandatory, $100 fine, and quarantine from out of state mandatory, $1,000 fine?
So that one's tricky. I don't really know how you enforce that.
Yeah.
Right? But the masks mandatory, I feel like they kind of are anyway. Like everywhere I go, everyone's wearing masks, right?
Yeah.
Like every store you go into, if you're getting coffee, if you're getting food.
But it's not a law. It's a recommendation.
You're right. It's not a law. I don't mind the law. I don't mind it. I don't think it's going to be forever, right? Isn't the hope, you know, if everybody plays by the rules for like another month, then
Greg
you can.
Greg hates you now.
But if it keeps.
I know, he's really staring at me now. Let's talk about movies.
But if it's a thing that, we all agree that it's a thing that keeps people safer, wouldn't it make sense to just keep it going, you know, with influenza season? I mean, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 people die from the flu every year.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you suggest that we just ought to just wear the mask?
I feel like I feel like coronavirus is different than the flu.
We
figured this out yet?
This is news to me.
I feel like it's a little different. I don't know. I mean, I don't.
What do you think Dale is doing right now when I bring these kinds of things up?
He's securing his mask.
manscaping. What do you think?
Is he pounding his fist, his hand?
I know he does a lot of push-ups to fatigue right before the show.
A couple AMRAPs.
He strikes me as a burner rep guy.
Yeah. It's just as many reps as you can do, and then that's it.
So what are you guys talking about today?
Well, it was interesting. So I know there's the board over there who's going to start week one, and Glenn Ordway is in the stidum. So apparently he knows something.
He's been told. Yes.
Steve Smith, though, also a former teammate of Cam Newton, was saying it's Stidham's job still, which I thought was very odd. Kind of out of nowhere. So we'll discuss that a little bit. Also, there was a story written in Deadspin. So take that for what you want.
Is that still alive?
Apparently, it's still a thing. I think it has a new owner. After Hulk Hogan sunk the place, I think it has a new owner.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But basically, and I think Wiggy would appreciate this, I think it was written by Pandering Man, and it was just talking about how like so many people are dying in Florida, and meanwhile, all these NBA players are getting test after test after test, and like they shouldn't be doing that. So we'll get into that. Plus, Tommy Kern will join us at 11.
So are the people that are dying?
It's because the NBA is there. that's what I got.
They would have been saved by saved by a tester.
Yeah, I guess.
I see.
That's what that's what this gentleman was saying.
Uh-huh.
And the way it was written, it was just so smarmy. Oh, I couldn't stand it.
And this is perfect. I went to Deadspin for the first time in years. Guess who's a columnist now at Deadspin? Rob Parker.
Oh God.
Oh. Wow. Because I already needed a reason. Yeah. I have never seen a website have a more precipitous fall.
No, I know.
And Rob Parker's column is 99 Reasons Boston Sucks.
Deadspin used to be great, and it absolutely sucks.
When do you think the next bubble incident is going to occur? And do you think it's
already happened. It's just a matter of when are we going to hear about it?
You think it's going to be food?
No.
Sex is next. Sex. Yeah.
It's going to be the ugly Anna. It's going to be whoever is down there right outside the bubble waiting. Mm-hmm. Like, you told me Thursday.
Hello.
You weren't here. So I just wandered in and all of a sudden. Yeah, it's going to be that. Another week or so. Oh, forget it.
Well, don't you have a guy who goes down and gets. Are your guys in the bubble with you if you're an NBA player?
What guys?
Your guys.
Your guys.
Oh, your guys.
Your guy.
Well, LeBron has his chef in there, I believe.
He does?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, LeBron has different treatment than everybody else. LeBron has, his own wing, apparently.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have one of those little shoebox rooms that Enes Kanter was complaining about. Yeah. LeBron has, a suite.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
wrapped muffin, thank you.
No, he doesn't have that. So, I think, depending on how good you are, maybe you have more of your guys in there.
Mm.
That'd be my guess.
So, your guy could go down and get somebody into the bubble for you.
I think so. I'm telling you, the first day that they were there, they just all walked the perimeter looking for soft spots.
Right, yep. Yeah.
Right here, this is where we do it.
Reach.
Look at that, that's a short fence right there.
We've got the pizza elevator and the beef elevator.
Yeah.
Somebody back up the chair car.
It's like the prison film where the sheets are dangling out of there, or the ladder is left up or whatever.
Oh, it's so funny. There's a giant poster of Rita Hayworth here.
Right.
Oh, my. Yeah.
It's like the Lindbergh kidnapping where the ladder was all that was left.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Remember the Lindbergh baby thing?
It was
topical
a huge thing.
Reference.
Huge thing.
You were on the radio.
I was. I remember thinking it down. I remember being shocked by the whole thing.
All right. So Dale and Keith is next. We will be back tomorrow morning with Wiggy. Thank you for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.